Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We welcome in Gary Danson, and we start in the SEC with the Georgia-Florida game, the annual clash. And, you know, it's been all Georgia recently. So the question is Florida ready to change the script?
That's a good question. Florida's a little hotter right now, and that's it was a tough loss Georgia had in LSU. They just did not play very well in that football game, and I think they've had to reexamine what they're all about. But I thought Kirby handled it well. You know, he told his team that he was part of four championships at Alabama, national championships, and only one of those teams went undefeated. The other three had, you know, tough losses, came back, and ended up winning the national championship. It's tough to go undefeated, and his team, I think they have better talent than Florida. I think Florida is what Dan has done so far with his football team has been pretty amazing. I would be surprised if Georgia does not show up and play like the team I think they are.
All right. I have to mention Purdue for last week, not just beating Ohio State, but according to Urban Meyer, exposing Ohio State, whipping them decidedly. They go to Michigan State, always tough after a week of getting patted on the back to go play somewhere.
Right.
And Michigan State comes off a loss where Michigan kicked Michigan State up and down the field. I mean, just killed them. Absolutely destroyed them.
And
Michigan's defense just owned them. If they didn't fumble the ball on their 7-yard line, they never would have scored in Michigan State. The question is, first of all, how shocked were you by Purdue?
Well, I'm really happy for the program. What Jeff Brom has done is quite amazing. And it shows you what, you know, a difference one player can make. Their freshman receiver Moore, and, you know, this is a player that narrowed it down at the end. He chose Purdue over Ohio State and Alabama. He had a connection to Purdue, and it shows you what a player of his magnitude, you know, imagine him playing for Alabama. You know, would he even be playing on the field right now? But it shows you what a player like that can make the other guys on the field just that much better of a football team. They won four straight. They lost their first three games of the year. But I don't really understand what Urban was saying about getting exposed. That was a little surprising to me. Maybe he's just grabbing for a word. I don't know what he means by that. I mean, you know, Ohio State's had tremendous recruiting classes. They've been able to score points on everybody. They seem to be more talented across the board than Purdue. And for Ohio State to go into that game and throw 73 passes. Now, I know they were behind and they had to play catch-up, but they just didn't look like Ohio State. I had my mouth open the whole game watching Ohio State play against Purdue. I was just waiting for the time they were going to line up and say, all right, we're going to slow this thing down. And we're going to run right at you and kind of rest our defense a little bit and show you that we can play smash mouth. And they didn't do it. And I don't know why, you know, I'm as surprised as this as I was when Urban played Michigan State and he ran Zeke Elliott four times in that game. I'm just as surprised about this game.
Well, the thing that I thought he meant is we no longer have our big defender, and we gave up almost 600 yards of offense. So
yeah,
now,
but he now, had, but
now,
he had
now
had
people
him.
Can he, move the ball on us.
Yeah, but he didn't. I mean, he didn't have them before either. I'm surprised. I have to admit, you know.
I mean, that's amazing. When do you see them give up that kind of yard? I mean, they gave up Purdue had 539 yards in the game and 160 rushing.
But they just didn't seem to have any other gear but to throw the ball. And that's what surprises me about their style of play. I mean, you can't tell me they don't have a couple of tailbacks that can slow the football game down, let your defense catch a breath. Are you really just going to try to play you know, spread passing game the whole game. If your defense is exposed, well, then play to it. Play like Iowa or Wisconsin or the way Michigan's playing. I strategically had a tough time figuring out what they were doing.
I watched Michigan, Michigan State, and I came away with this. Number one, he's got a big-time defense. Number two, he's got a back who's durable. And number three, he's got a quarterback that can make a third down play with his legs or his arm. That's enough to give him a chance this year. He has to beat Ohio State. He'll beat Penn State, I think, next week. He then has two soft games, Indiana and Purdue and Rutgers. And then he goes to Columbus on the 24th for the game he has to win. And this is the year with that defense and with enough versatility on the offense, he's got to win that game this year.
Well, what I came away with it is that, the question I had a few weeks ago, and maybe you and I discussed, and I do a lot of these things, is can an offense like the way Michigan's playing in modern-day college football, can they win? And, yes, I think they can. Georgia almost did it a year ago.
Because I think he can pass it enough. I think he can throw it enough to be dangerous.
Well, my thing is Georgia just did it. Okay, and I've been asked this every time is, can you do it without spreading the ball around? Can you play to a defense and win? And I think you can. Now, yes, going to Columbus is not easy. I mean, I remember last year, as good as Alabama was, as good as Georgia was, when they went to Auburn and played on Auburn's field, Auburn smoked them. Okay, and that's really what Michigan's going to be up against. And you say he has to win. I get it. It's time for him to produce, but it will not be an easy game.
But they have the remnants. They have the makings this year of what they need to do to have the win. I mean, I've seen – now, the only thing I'd worry about them right now is I worry about their kicking game. Other than that, I think they're okay. I think – I don't know about their field goal kicker, but other than – and they might need him in that game. But the quarterback can make – he's not great, but he can make enough plays. He can make a play with his leg. He can make a play with his arm. And they have a back who's durable. I mean, he's going to get – that back's – he gets 100 yards every week, that back.
Well, and I like the way I do think in modern college football, with the number of RPOs they do now, when the offensive linemen are 4 yards downfield, playing zone defense and depending on your linebackers to play the run and also play the pass, you get exposed. So you have to match up man-to-man. That's exactly what they will do against Ohio State. And if they can do it the way they played in that football game that we just saw, I mean, Michigan State, why, they just self-destructed. I mean, it was hard to even watch Michigan State play like that. I thought they would have more for Michigan. But I do think the formula that Michigan's bringing gives them a chance against any of the high-powered teams. They're going to slow it down, and they're going to get in the receiver's face, and their front seven can play. They can ball. So I like the makeup of their team, and I've been saying that all year that I thought Michigan was a team that could win it.
Yeah, I said it first week. I did a show and said it, and then I felt bad that I said it because the way they played the game at Notre Dame, I felt like, oh boy, was I wrong?
As we talked though, I thought that was a game that they got a little bit surprised. New defensive coordinator, their offensive line wasn't ready, and I think Michigan's a much better team. And after we didn't really talk about this. It's tough to move the ball against Michigan State. They stack the box. They play bump and run coverage.
They play tough.
It's never pretty against Michigan State.
Hard team to play against. I agree. Hard team to play against and a team that's always good defensively, very sound defensively. So I agree. A very hard team to play against. There's not a lot to this season now. There really isn't. Alabama's on their own level by a lot. Clemson's rolling along. Notre Dame is rolling along. Michigan's getting ready to go, play Penn State and then go play Ohio State. This is going to be an easy one to figure out. There's not a lot of pieces to this season.
Yeah, it's all up to Alabama right here.
I don't think anybody's beating them.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if anybody does, it's the scenario that they're going to face. I mean, playing LSU at night in Death Valley, and they're a legitimate team. They're not the greatest team I ever saw, but they're the legitimate team. Now, you know, unfortunately
quarterback's
for
too
LSU.
Good. Quarterback's too good.
Unfortunately for LSU, though, this suspension for their linebacker on a ticky-tack targeting, I wouldn't mind if they called Devin White, number 40 for LSU, on roughing the passer. That was fine with me. But the targeting, I thought, was way out of line. He shoved him, and I thought it was stretching it. Considering he will not play the first half, he is the best player on LSU's team. He's the quarterback for their defense, and he's the best they got against that RPO package of Alabama. And the only equivalent player that you could take off Alabama to match Devin White would be Tua. That's how tough it's going to be for LSU losing Devin White.
I don't know if people are noticing, but on a smaller scale, Alabama's running the same kind of stuff that the Kansas City Chiefs are running. They're running exactly the same.
Or the other way around. Yeah.
Or they're copying each other. They're running the same offenses.
Exactly.
That's exactly
right.
Or the
other way around.
Absolutely.
You got
the two guys, and they're killing everybody, and they're running the same stuff. The quarterback, you got the back, you got the receiver. The receiver makes the move. You read one, you read the other, boom, there you go.
Well, and the other part of it is the change that's happening now in college football, and you can see the Kansas City Chiefs are doing it. Instead of putting your possession receiver in the slot like a Wes Welker, you're putting your speed guy there.
Yep.
And you're getting him on the safeties. That's what Tariq Hill does to the NFL.
Killing
it breaks
them.
You down.
And it's a straight line.
Yes. It's a very effective. I mean, you're right that Waddle and Devontae Smith are doing that for Alabama.
Yep.
And it's going to be real interesting how the defense is adjust to this
And it's an easy read for the quarterback.
And it's a shorter throw. You don't have to throw the ball all the way to the sideline. You throw it down the middle. So
yep.
It's a much easier throw for the quarterback.
And as long as they're good ball handlers, and they both are, it's a very easy play. It really is. You know?
We interviewed Nick Saban Friday night before the game. And he said, Gary, you would not believe how easy the reads are in the RPO game. He said,
yep.
Now on third down, all's fair. You know, they get
right.
to do what they want.
Right.
But before third down, he said, we've got it down where the quarterback, it's black-white.
It's easy. It's easy. It's as easy as read. You could give that to any first-year quarterback in the NFL. It's the easiest thing
in
the world.
And that's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons Sam Darnold is having some success and Baker Mayfield is having some success. They've grown up in these systems,
yep.
And whether they're reading it in college or pro, it's not that much different.
Amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. And you know, I'm watching the Chiefs last week, and I was watching Ben. I said, they're running the same thing. I said, I'm saying it's working in both places like crazy.
Yep.
They're running it like crazy.
Well, and Doug Peterson did it last year, you know, with Philadelphia, and that's why they had that string of success that even so they lose their quarterback, Nick Foles comes in there and says, this isn't so hard. So
I got a weird game for you today. Here's the question. Okay? Utah's a good team. Very good team.
Yes.
Underrated team. Play tonight against UCLA. The last 2 weeks, the light's gone on for UCLA.
Totally. Yeah.
Has UCLA given them a game tonight? Has the light gone on for real, or does Utah bury them tonight?
I feel like it's open. I don't want to turn this into a betting show.
No, but you know what? I find that interesting. To me, that's interesting. I want to see if Kelly has it going or not against Utah. It's a Friday night. People will watch the game. And I'm thinking, I wonder if UCLA has turned the corner tonight. That's a tough test. Utah's really good.
And here's the other half of it. Here's the other half of it. Utah has been playing some very physical games, and they're on a short week. So when you put that together, it does even make it, you know, a reason to do more than tune in, as you might say.
Yes, it's a fun game. I want to see if Kelly's got it going. The last 2 weeks, they've showed up. You know, they beat Cal in Arizona, and you know, after being bad early, they did. So that makes it interesting.
I'll tell you another interesting game tonight. An interesting game for PJ Fleck for Minnesota. You know, how many more chances does he have to win games? They've really beaten nobody so far. They've got a nice team. Indiana's got a pretty feisty team coming in there. If PJ Fleck doesn't win this one,
yep.
You know, I think people start asking questions right away.
Yeah, and you know, losing to Nebraska was not you know, after Nebraska hadn't won in 10 games, you know.
He got it.
And Nebraska paid him back. They thought he ran the score up on him last year, so they paid him back. They did. All right. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Gary Danielson. There you go. So, I mean, tonight that game, UCLA is a 10.5-point underdog at home. And forget the points, but people were killing Kelly and saying, boy, you can't get it. The last 2 weeks, he's gotten UCLA started. Now he's got them playing pretty well. Now here comes Utah, and Utah's good. I mean, Utah's legit. They beat Stanford. Utah's legit. They got a good quarterback. They got a good defense, good coach. They're a good team. Is UCLA ready to go? We'll see tonight. They're home, and they're a 10-point dog. So the game was on my head to see if Kelly on a Friday night's got it going or not.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.